हरि ओम
सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 38. When the king travels all over the world, other kings, as well as the demigods, will offer him all kinds of presentations. Their queens will also consider him the original king, who carries in his hands the emblems of club and disc, and will sing of his fame, for he will be as reputable as the supreme personality of Godhead. Right, so the kings themselves will offer him presentations and everything, because they will consider him very special. The king's queens, they will glorify him because he is like the original king. This is the nature that all kings should have, and that will come from there. So then they all respect that. This king, this protector of the citizens, is an extraordinary king and is equal to the Prajapati demigods. Because the Prajapatis are always saying how to expand, how to make everything nice for everybody. They're not so, as much controlling as trying to create a nice environment. For the living facility of all citizens, he will milk the earth, which is like a cow. Not only that, but he will level the surface of the earth with the pointed ends of his bow, breaking all the hills exactly as King Indra, the heavenly king, breaks mountains with his powerful thunderbolt. It's easier to farm if the land's flat. No, because when you put water, then it stays all evenly. Because if it's at an angle, then you put water and it runs down. So the stuff at the bottom will be more moist, the stuff at the top. So the flatter it is. It's also easier, it's easier to plow flat land than going uphill and then downhill and, these kind of things. So that's why then he would level the earth. Yes? Yeah? Well, you notice most places where you go around, it has a little bit of undulation and things, but you'll find basically kind of around the Ganga on both sides, from this end all the way up to where the hills start, it's just flat. From Haridwar down to the Ganga basically is flat, a little bit in Bihar, like that, but it's just flat. So that's what he did. So it means in Aryabharata, he leveled that, right? The whole of Bharatvarsha he didn't, but in Aryabharata he did. Okay, 21 to 22. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, text 4, the next four verses answer the question, how did the women glorify Maharaj Prithu? Right? Because it might be said, okay, they're glorifying him, but how did they glorify him? When the lion travels in the forest with his tail turned upward, all menial animals hide themselves. Similarly, when King Prithu will travel over his kingdom and vibrate the string of his bow, which is made of the horns of goats and bulls and is irresistible in battle, all demoniac rogues and thieves will hide themselves in all directions. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport. It is very appropriate to compare a powerful king like Prithu to a lion. In India, Kshatriya kings are still called Singh, which means lion. Unless rogues and thieves and other demoniac people in a state are afraid of the executive head, who rules the kingdom with a strong hand, there cannot be peace or prosperity in the state. Thus, it is most regrettable when a woman becomes the executive head instead of a lion-like king. In such a situation, the people are considered very unfortunate. Because that this strength needs to be there. So it means it means even if you have heads of states who are feminine, you only hear about Margaret Thatcher, right? You know, because she was the Iron Lady. So she was very careful to see that everything is very strong. But other than her, then, you know, who you got? Elizabeth I was considered quite strong. She stopped all the in-house fighting between the Protestants and the Catholics. But otherwise, generally, you don't see. You know, maybe a pleasant time, but like this. So the point is that the king, unless those who are have a tendency to not follow the laws of the state, unless they are afraid of the king, then they won't even make the effort. So that's the idea, is that you have to see to the... that these are held in check. Otherwise, how would the citizens be peaceful? Now, one may say, oh, but then that'd be so strong and things won't be comfortable. But we already described before about how he cared for the citizens like they're his own children, like he's the father, and how nice he is, and how, you know, he tolerates even the improper dealings of the citizens towards him personally. Right? Not towards the state, towards him personally. Right, there's a difference, right? You go against the state, now that's just wrong. You say something about him and his behavior, it's a personal thing. We're not talking treason here, we're talking about just personal behavior. Then that's understood because of the nature that someone junior might not behave well with someone senior because of expectation that they're going to take care nicely. Right? Like that. Does that make sense? So we already understand is that that roughness that's there from having this kind of power is not present. So it'll be a balance. In other words, it's like what Prabhupada gave before, the example of the cat. So with the citizens, it's like the kitten. But with the rogues and thieves, it's like the rat. Right? So the same mood protects one, destroys the other. Right? And these prayers are being given by the women. So that means that there is that element that the culture and the proper dealing, so it's about the masculine element, not about just being strong. Yes?
It's interesting when Srila Prabhupada writes those purpose, when Indira Gandhi is in charge of the state.
Yeah, but then you see so much difficulty. I mean, what was going on, you know, means you had the whole thing with Khalistani and these different things, is that Kashmir, all these things are happening, you know, so it's like, maybe on the political level, things may be going kind of nicely and this and that. But as far as the citizens go, you know, she was strong, but you know, that means there was a state of emergency. It was all these things. That means people didn't really care about the state. Otherwise, why do you have to have emergency? Why do you have to do all these different things? You know, so therefore, you can say she was being strong, but that strength wasn't respected.
From inside.
Yeah, from inside. Otherwise, why did she get shot? Right? You don't hear about anyone shooting Margaret Thatcher. You know, it's just she was strong and they appreciated that. You know, she was someone to contend with. But the other was just, it was reactionary strong.
Right.
You know, so it wasn't... That's the difference, is that the feminine being strong, it's only can be strong if there's such strength behind her. So that would be the difference. You would see as Margaret Thatcher, her husband was very important. Right? They did a documentary kind of thing on her. And even after the husband's dead, she's still dealing as if he's still there. Like that. So in other words, you could say the most powerful woman in England. And probably one of the most powerful heads of state in the world. But it's because of the husband. Because he was so strong and such a good husband. That's why she could be so strong. So that's the thing. Woman actually being strong is because of having a strong husband, strong support. You know, the father, the son, the husband, or the whole group, or whatever it is. That strength is there. And so that you have to kind of respect. But the other is not that it had as much respect. Because then she's responding in a feminine way. You know, just like we see the example is with Gayatri Devi, who is the queen of Jaipur. So then one time she decided to come in with all her people, and because she thought that they were stuck by the money, because government's not able to produce money, they need money, so then they just, they themselves are like rogues and thieves and just go in and steal it from wherever they can. Right? Because before, it's like when they took over and took away the, there were no kingdoms, it was a centralized government. Okay. The British didn't run it that way, and they did it very successfully, 200 people. The kings run each area, but they just manage the kings. That's the smart way. But they decided, no, we have to have this other kind of system. Right? If they stuck to that, India would still probably be very powerful. But they, and so the kings were kings. They had their positions and all that, but, you know, they left them alone. Then, I think it was in the 60s. Then they took away their money.
And property also.
Yeah, because in other words, the government is such bad managers that they can't produce anything because it's just a bunch of idiots kind of running around, right? The qualified people, the IAS officers, you know, the secretaries. But the politicians, it's just from anywhere. You know, it's just like, you know. And so they couldn't maintain the government. You know, I was saying before, they couldn't get that kind of government who wants to pay taxes, who wants to do anything, so they don't have money, so they just started stealing, basically. You know, they even did a thing, they had 1,000 rupee notes, and at one point, then they just canceled them all. And if you wanted to get your money back, you had to bring in the 1,000 rupee notes and declare where it's from. Like that. And so, you know, people just kept the 1,000 rupee notes, hoping they would be, again, okay to use. But then when the new ones came out, you see the bright red, so you know they're different. So, you know, so the people lost a lot of money. So they come in and they found that they had, I guess by their intelligence, they figured out that Gayatri Devi had some wealth that they didn't know about. And so it was kept under a bed. Not in the bed, like the modern thing you put in the mattress means the bed is on a platform, you know, marble platform, you know, underneath there is a vault. So it's a huge, ridiculous amount of wealth. Like that. And then she put Gayatri Devi in the jail, you know, just to harass. But she didn't put her into the, you know, nicer part of the jail or this or that, where they generally would put, you know, like a businessman or someone like that. She put her in where all the prostitutes were. She's just making points. So that's what I'm meaning. She's just reacting as feminine. So she's not actually being a leader as such. And their government is so bad that they have to resort to being thieves to actually maintain it. So that's what Prabhupada's talking about here. So nobody's safe, nobody's comfortable, no one's like that. You know, the people are rioting, it's wild. It's crazy. So that's the difficulty. You know, if they just followed the tradition, things would have worked better. Yes?
We mentioned before that the son inherits the qualities of the mother.
Yes.
So the mother's own son will automatically be strong also.
Yeah. But he was the same kind of strong, so he got blown up. You know what to do. Probably better to be shot than blown up.
Shot with one piece, you blown him.
Yeah, many pieces, yeah. They could only tell who he was by his shoes, basically. Like that, so yes. But that's what we're meaning. That here, the queens here, what are they appreciating about the king? His strength. So you say he's like the lion. So those kind of queens, now they'll have strong sons who will be like that. So you do, and the women should be strong, but they should be strong in their own area, right? Because the point is. As the queen, you probably have more influence than you do as being the head of state. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, like that. So we see it's like those different things. It's like we said, Margaret Thatcher, so she's, you know, had that strength. The family was so strong, so she could, because as soon as her husband died, she dropped out of politics. And she said that's why. so it's there. And Elizabeth, she didn't get married. Right? So then she had strength because then no one could control her. So. And she was like her father, Henry. So they knew, don't mess with her, otherwise some heads may roll. So they figured, okay, she's pleasant, we'll be pleasant, everybody's pleasant. And that. But otherwise, it's very rare. You know, in other words, you can point out, you can say, no, but there's this one and that one. I think there's a few here and there like that. But the whole point is like, what do you call it? They were quite strong. The Amazons. You didn't mess with the Amazons. Like that. But they're rare. So out of thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of men who are doing, you know, from a bad job up to a good job, then there's one lady who does a good job. So that's why he's saying it's not a standard. Yes.
Also, in the case of Margaret Thatcher, she didn't have the caring moves or the protection element was not really there. A lot of people, they lost the jobs, you know, and they lost the faith in the whole structure of government.
Okay. Okay.
So
okay.
She started a revolutionary thing that's they're still struggling to, you know, get on their feet after that.
After that. Okay. So then here's another aspect. So she'd also had that over application of strength.
Yeah. Because her focus was on economy, not protection.
Yeah. Okay. So then that the what do you call it? The exception established as a rule. It still worked out. Okay. At the source of the river Saraswati, this king will perform 100 sacrifices known as Ashwamedha. In the course of the last sacrifice, the heavenly king Indra will steal the sacrificial horse. Yes?
Indra knew, he heard all the pages, he knew what's going on. Why would he steal the horse? Why would Shaktivishalatar be interested in becoming Indra? That's totally logical.
No, that's the problem's not the Shaktivesh avatar, the problem is Indra.
Of course.
Even though you know something's not going to happen, doesn't mean you're going to do a good job. Just like this. Okay, let us say, have you ever had this as a situation? It may apply, it may not. Let us say your husband is kind of being clever. And he's talking about something you did that he really appreciated. But he's not talking about you, he's talking about you in third person. As if you're another person, though it's very obvious it's you. Does that ever happen?
Yes.
Did you ever get jealous of the person he's talking about?
But I knew it was me.
But that doesn't mean you don't get jealous. I've heard of that. So.
No, I just thought that he'd raise more trouble.
So the Indra, it doesn't matter, even if he knows, it doesn't mean he doesn't become jealous.
That is very feminine.
Hey, it happens. I mean, it's like that. He didn't get it. He didn't get his yajna, and then he tries to destroy Vrindavan. Because some kid says, you know, why should we do this? We'll worship this hill. Right? Visharup. Brahma already told him that Vishwarupa will be the best for the sacrifice, but you have to be able to tolerate that he supports the demons. It's not that he doesn't support the demigods, because one side of his family is from the demigods and one side of his family is from the demons. So he supports both, and being a Brahmin, he is equal-minded. He doesn't care. But his point is that I think it's the mother's side, I think it's the demons.
Yeah.
So therefore, in consideration of his mother, he's offering for the demigods, who's the father's side, and that's his job. But he's also offering on the south side of the fire for the mother's side of the family. So Brahma already told him about this. And then when he figures it out, then immediately he kills him. He doesn't say, hey, this is not cool, don't do that. And then, oh, okay. He just immediately kills him. So that's the point, is that when you have this position where you're the king of the universe, right? You know, we see people who try to become emperors of their little tract of land. You know what I'm saying? It's like you know, it's like the Kaiser, the emperor, you know, or Napoleon, the emperor, or the Romans, the emperor. It probably the amount of land they were emperor of, he would fit into Texas. You know what I'm saying? One rancher probably has more land than the whole of Rome. You know, just he's got his cows out there and his goats. You know, so, you know, and they're the emperor, you know. Like that. So that's the whole thing. Let alone the emperor of the world, let alone the emperor of the universe. So just it goes to his head now and again. But we don't see it's happening very often. But it's happening. So in the last, you know, half of the universe, you know, in one paratha of Brahma's life, we have Govardhan Leela, we have this with Prithu, right?
He got his eyes.
Yeah, the thing with the eyes.
Vishru.
Like that. There's one or two more. That was just dealing, because that's just they're taking care of the demons. So this wasn't something that was, it had personal weakness in it, but that was the demigod to the devotee. So there it was, as a devotee it wasn't as strong as Ritrasura, and that was brought out. But I'm saying where he just goes off the rails. You know, so that's four or five times. You know, but when he does do it, it's good. You know, it's a good story. So then you always hear there's much to learn.
It's funny that he remains in his position.
Why wouldn't he? Because he does a good job.
Yes.
But I'm saying that's the point is if we went by modern standards, most of the people that are mentioned in the Vedic literatures wouldn't be in the position they're in. You know? Yeah, he'd be out. You know, he'd be right out. Nard Muni, he's weird. You know, the four Kumaras, you know, they can't even get dressed, you know, like that. And, you know, and Nard Muni's friend, Parvati Muni, he also walks around with no clothes on, and he's not 5 years old. Sukadeva Goswami, hey, man, what's going on here? You know, there's an epidemic, right? You know, that's what I'm saying. So that's the whole thing, is that the Vedic works on what it is that you can do as a standard thing, and then there'll be something. You know, so it's like if, you know, 80%, 90%, 98%, depending on who you are, there'll be more. Then that's there, then you're in that position, and you just have to, you know, try to avoid the other little bits. Does that make sense? But in the modern, it's unless you're 100% squeaky clean, then you're out. And the fun part is the people that take them out, then, you know, they're all it is they didn't get caught. You know what I'm saying? Because somebody who is squeaky clean, what does he care about these things? It's always talked about, no, the ones who are pure, they're the ones that are champing it. No, the ones that are dirty and not been caught, they're champing. Otherwise, clean, it's like, why do you care? You know? Why would you care? So, therefore, in here, unless it has something to do with bringing out pure devotion, you don't worry about it. You know? That's the thing. So that's the innocent. So that's the whole thing. This King Prithu will meet Sanat Kumar, one of the four Kumaras, in the garden of his palace compound. The king will worship him with devotion and will be fortunate to receive instructions by which one can enjoy transcendental bliss. In this way, when the chivalrous activities of King Prithu come to be known to the people in general, King Prithu will always hear about himself and his uniquely powerful qualities. No one will be able to disobey the orders of King Prithu. After conquering the world, he will completely eradicate the threefold miseries of the citizens. Right? So we're talking about religion here, proper respect, being able to become, you know, how you say, enjoy transcendental bliss, chivalry, right? Then this becomes no uniquely powerful, no one can disobey. So these are all the prayers of the queens, right? So this is another indirect way, is, you know, people want to know what it is that ladies like, here it is. Right? So they're able to appreciate this. Then he will be recognized all over the world. At that time, both the Suras and Asuras will undoubtedly glorify his magnanimous activities, because it's so great, even those who are the rogues and rascals, like Sanatana Goswami. Even the thieves in that respected him and would deal nicely with him. So that's the thing, they would see him in this way. He would be such a fatherly figure that everybody would respect him. Srila Prabhupada, 24 to 27. Srila Prabhupada describes pre-qualifications for one aspiring to rule the world in his purport to verse 27. At the time of Maharaj Prithu, the world was ruled by one emperor, although there were many subordinate states, just as there are many united states in various parts of the world. In olden days, the entire world was ruled through many states, but there was a supreme emperor who ruled over all subsidiary states. As soon as there were some discrepancies in the maintenance of the Varnashram system, the emperor would immediately take charge of the small states. Right? So it's only if it's there, and then once it's reestablished properly, then again they would pull back. So it's not that he doesn't have... See, the Vedic system is that this king, he has his own kingdom, and he's also the emperor of the world. Right? The Kauravas, they have their state. And then... they are emperors of the world. The modern thing is, if you're emperor of the world, the emperor, you don't have your own state. You know, in other words, you're emperor, but you're the only king. So why would you call yourself emperor? Because are there other kings? Right? Augustus, was there another king? Were the kings under him? So how is he the emperor? All it is if you're a little bit bigger than what the people before you were. Before you were kings, you expanded the kingdom, so now you call yourself an emperor. You conquered other kingdoms, but the kingdoms still aren't running. So you're just a king on a bigger level. So like in India, you had Punjab. I think that was one of the biggest kingdoms. Because it's what's Punjab now and what would be Pakistan. So it's quite big. It was one of the most populated, biggest, most prosperous, because all the farmland and the people are big, strong, you know, like that. So it was a very powerful state. It was one of the most powerful. There, Kashmir, all these different places. So, but there was also states that, I think the one state was only 9,000 acres. You know, that's it. So it's not that big. It's probably even smaller than a district or county or whatever you have in these different countries. Right? It's a little dinky thing, or like Monte Carlo, right? It's a little dinky place. It was connected with, I think, was it with Venice? I think. I'm not sure where they're connected with, but they're connected with one other Italian state. So they were kind of like subordinate to them. Or now it's like Monte Carlo's there, it has its head. But at the same time, it's under France. France takes care of it. So as long as there's a head that has the Grimaldi name, then it will remain independent. You know. Like that. But as soon as there isn't a Grimaldi anymore, it'll revert back to Paris. Does that make sense? So you had these things where you had small states, very big states, all that, that could all cooperate together. So that's an emperor. It means you have your state that you directly manage. Because then you are busy managing. Otherwise, if you don't, then you get in the way of all the other managers. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Let's just like, let's say I have a group of temple presidents. Let's say I take the, make a regional council, okay? Let's say in Europe. So there you have so many states, countries there, and you have so many temple presidents, okay? So now they get together. Each one of them is a temple president. They have their own area. Now they work out what needs to be cooperative and this and that. And naturally they make the meetings work. They have a chairman. Anything has to be called. Anything has to be sent out. Anything has to be organized. The chairman does it. And you change it as you like. He does good. You leave him. You need to change every couple of years or whatever. That's a detail. Right? But the chairman has his own temple to run. At the same time, he has the ability to think how to make the whole zone, the whole area run. Does that make sense? Now, if you just have someone, okay, you have this regional council, and you have people that just administrative heads of the regional council have no other detail, all they're going to do is get in the way of everybody else. You understand? So they can't be autonomous. Before you had regional secretaries. The regional secretary was a secretary to the GBC and only got done what the GBC did. They weren't separate. So they were above the presidents only in that they told the president what the GBC was, you know, direction they wanted. Does this make sense? So it's very careful how it's done. If you just put people on top that don't have a portfolio that they are day-to-day managing, then they'll only make trouble. It's not natural. It's not normal. Management means you're doing, like, you, let's say you have a chamber of commerce, right? Everybody in the chamber of commerce has their business. And then whoever is the most respected or biggest or whatever is the reason or the only one they trust, he's the head of the chamber of commerce. But he has his own business. You don't have a guy who has no business and he's the head of the chamber of commerce. Right? So you don't have a bureaucrat in charge of managers. It just doesn't work. It's not, oh no, but we can make it do or we're devotees. No, it just doesn't work. You know, oil and water don't mix. You put oil and water together, which is on the top? Oil. That's just the way it is. You can say, no, we're devotees, we mix it up and all that. Yeah, we're just doing this. But put it down, and then what happens? It separates you. So it's just, there's laws of nature. There's ways that it has to be done. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what they're pointing out, is that here's how it then does. So therefore, he manages his own state, but keeps tabs on all the other states in the world. As soon as the state's not following Varnashram properly, then he'll step in. Why? Because Varnashram is the standard by which you follow, by which everybody can be elevated. That's all. But as far as day-to-day management, what's the point? There's no need to get involved. There's a king there. They run it. Right? You'd have to be an idiot to micromanage. The word utpatita, loka salya, indicates that Maharaj Prithu completely uprooted all the miseries of his citizens. So whatever was wrong, he'd figure out how to solve it. Right? He wouldn't distract them by a footy match or, you know, a state lottery or, you know, something else, some gala or like that. You know, he would actually solve the problem. The word salya means piercing thorns. There are many kinds of miserable thorns that pierce the citizens of a state, right? Because we've discussed before, you know, all these thieves, adulterers, robbers, right? Because one means they just come in and steal your stuff. The other one comes in, they'll beat you up and then steal your stuff. Gamblers, that's four. What was the fifth one?
Murders,
yeah. These are thorns. So in other words, he saw that none of these were in his state. And if in another state they're not like there, the king's managing properly, fine. But if those come up too much in that state, then he'll step in to help uproot all that. But once it's uprooted, it goes back to the, you know, regular management. Understand? But the point is it has to be run. So every state is independent. They're not yes men, they're cooperative men. Right? The modern thing is if I'm on one party and someone's on another party, if you support the other party, you're a yes man, rather than I independently like the other party. So in other words, even though they talk cooperation, you can't cooperate because you'll be a yes man. You know, you have to show your independence. So you,
yes. If you're in opposition, you have to be a no man.
Yes, then you're a no man. Yes. Even if they're giving something good that would be good for the citizens, just because the other party came up with it, you have to oppose it. Useless government. Right? Should be what's good by the other party. Whichever party's in, what good they're doing should be supported. What bad they're doing, oppose that. But no, they just oppose anything. And then because they oppose and nothing gets done, then you can say, okay, they didn't do a good job, so we'll do a good job. Then you put them in, now the other party that was in before that didn't get, now they'll oppose everything here. So who suffers? The citizens, you know. And basically just guys sit in the room and yell and scream at each other and, you know, all of the day's work. But all competent rulers, even up to the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthir, uprooted all the miserable conditions of the citizens. Means up to the beginning of Kali Yuga. Then in Kali Yuga, then this starts to fall apart, where we actually see that the leadership may be thorns. Or maybe the leader's not, but his administration may be thorns. Because they don't uproot all these things. It is stated that during the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthir, there did not even exist severe cold or scorching heat, nor did the citizens suffer from any kind of mental anxiety. So that's because everything was just running so smoothly. So you just had to perform your daily duties. And just by doing that, everything would work out. Right? Let's say I'm selling something that people need. Okay? Now the point is that I'm selling it. Now my sons are there on that. Now there's a problem, because now there's more people. But the point is everybody else has more people also. So the population is growing. So therefore I have something that people need. There's more people that need it. So I don't have to worry about business. If I'm selling something that people need, it will grow. Because the population grows. Right? So everybody just had to do their duties. Do it in the morning, their sadhana. Then they would do their business, you know, and everything. You know, during the day, then back in the evening. You know, so it went very, very peacefully. So that's the position. So you don't have to worry. But nowadays, you really don't know how things will go. Because you don't know how the market, because it's all about people sitting on the top and pulling here and there. Because you're not dealing with an economy that's based on what people need. It's based on an economy that's what people should want. Do you understand? There's a difference. Right? There's a good chance potatoes basically stay the same price most of the time. A little bit more crop, it goes up a bit. A little less, it goes, you know, this and that. You know, so then, like that. But other things, it goes up, down, this, that, constantly changing hands. You know, how many times has, you know, these big luxury companies changed hands? Right? They start off with one thing, and now they keep the name, but otherwise they all belong to something else, right? They're all either part of Fiat, they're all part of... you know, what do you call it, Mercedes, or they're part of, what are those guys, LHBH or something? You know those guys?
No.
Louis in that group, they're all those things are all there. Christian Dior, all, you know, the hot couture is all in that group. So that's the thing, no one even knows it exists. But that manages all that, so all these small companies are there, so they're the emperors in business. Okay, so this is the standard of good government, right? So that's the point. When the people are peaceful, the people are prosperous, the weather works nicely, right? Because nowadays you see weather that just nobody's seen before, right? What snowed in New Orleans. It never snows in New Orleans, right? You know, when is this? It snowed in Israel, right? You know, so what's going on there? You know, you got to go over to, what is it? Over to, what is it? You know, check out what's happening over at the Jerusalem and that. What are they up to there? You know, you know, why is it snow in Israel? It's not supposed to snow in Israel. Right? Such a peaceful and prosperous government, devoid of anxiety, was established by Prithu Maharaj. Thus, the inhabitants of both saintly and demoniac planets were all engaged in glorifying the activities of Maharaj Prithu. Because if the earth is going nicely, the whole universe goes nicely. Right? Because the piety is generated that the whole universe goes well. You know, it's just like we're saying. The Vaishyas are generating all the money for the whole society, so Earth is generating all the sacrifice for the whole universe. Right? It's just everybody has their job. Right? They have to generate it, Indra has to manage it. Yeah. Persons or nations anxious to spread their influence all over the world should consider this point. So he's not saying they shouldn't spread their interest. Point is that if a country wants to spread its interest or spread their influence, but it has to be that they're protecting those who they're spending it over. Otherwise, all you have to do is look at the British history, and then you know how to. You just go in there, don't just maintain, don't protect, and then at some point you get a revolution. Right? So basically, the sun never rises on the British Empire. Right? They don't have any place. It was called before, the sun never sets on the British Empire. because they had countries, colonies all over the world, that there'd be no time when the sun wouldn't be on one of them. And now they've lost them all. Right? So then, and they have bad weather, you know, as a result of that. So the sun never rises. You know? I remember one day driving along the car and I was complaining about the weather and this and that, and the other person in the car, this is in London, "What do you mean? You know, this bad or this great?" Because it was summer. It's summer, right? You know, you know, summer means our winter on a not so good day. You know, so I was saying, yeah, you know, the sun comes out for 15 minutes. "Oh no, it's this, that." And just around that time, the sun came out. And then the other person, "See, you know, all this you're talking, all this negative, this, that." After 15 minutes, cloud came, sun went away. And then I just looked at him and smiled. Okay. Yeah. Okay. If one is able to eradicate completely the threefold miseries of the citizens, he should aspire to rule the world. That's the point. If someone who can do that, they should be the leader of the world. Then it's worth it, because so much problem. I think there's at any one time there's 150 wars, but that's an old statistic. That was from 10 years ago. Who knows how many it is now? Before, there was 150 wars going on at any one time, so if it didn't really concern the first world, you didn't see it in the newspaper. Right? So therefore, you only know about this one or that one, but there's 150 going on at any one time. Right? You know. I'm not sure if that includes the Hatfields and the McCoys. One should not aspire to rule for any political or diplomatic consideration. Right? It's only to protect the people. That's the only reason to rule. Then you're qualified. If it's just because you want to have political power, you know, or diplomatic aspects, then what's the point? What's the benefit? Administration is supposed to protect the people. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So, chapter 17. Maharaj Prithu becomes angry at the earth. How does it say 7 through 12 and we're on 17? No, that's the front of the one I'm on. Oh, I see. So it's 13 to 19.
Yeah.
This is 13 to 19. Oh, okay. Aha, okay, no, but I just got confused there. I was wondering, how are we on 17 and this says 12? Maharaj Prithu becomes angry at the earth. Oh, what was the, just one second, what was the particular, the last one? Okay, 16. Prithu displays the six opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full. Right, so everybody's appreciating the opulences that he'll do, and these opulences then, as an administrator, translate as benefit for not only his population, but also the whole universe. Everyone gets benefits. So even the demigods, the demons, everybody's glorifying. So we saw the kings are glorifying, the queens are glorifying, the citizens are glorifying, the Brahmins are glorifying, the demigods are glorifying, the demons are glorifying. So this means that this is good administration. Everybody's benefiting. Pratigya. Taking control after Vena's rule, Maharaj Prithu chastised the earth for neglecting her duties. So that's the point, is the king's supposed to see that everyone's doing the duties, including the earth. The Pratigya is expressed in this excerpt from 28th verse in purport. At this time, Prithu Maharaj became exactly like Yamaraj, and his whole body appeared very angry, because we mentioned before that's one of the qualities of the king. So whichever is necessary at the time, that's what's manifest, or any combination. You know, when it comes to the taxes, then it's like the sun. When it comes to Yamaraj, he's chastising and seeing that every justice is there, the laws are being followed. You know, in pleasantness, he's like the moon. So if he's in a public program and that, he's with the public, then he's pleasant like the moon. You know, when it comes to how he's running his administration, then he's seeing that everything's going nicely, like the air, he pervades everything, knows what's going on. Like Agni, then where there is a problem, then he chastises them. Does that make sense? So, like this. So now this is a time for, like, Yamaraj. Yes?
It's
somehow in another idea, it's like person should always behave the same.
Yeah.
And otherwise it's duplicious and this and that. And, you know, how is this matches with...
But it doesn't match. That's why modern systems don't work. Because just like this, the guy's at the office, how should he behave? Okay, now when he walks down the street, should he act like he is, you know, the boss in the office when he walks down the street? You know, yeah, of course, yes. You know, like that, you know, he's standing at the light there and bossing everybody around, you know, like that, you know, so I'm saying, and then he goes home, now he's supposed to boss his wife around, the kid around, like he's, you know, things like that. So if you can't do this, then there's something lacking in his person. So this thing where they always have to be this and that, that's because what is the standard? But that standard that they're always trying to be, that's consistent, is based on what somebody's saying. You know, the public's saying one thing, you adjust to that, and then the politicians say thing, he adjusts to that, right? You know, it's just like, if you adjust too much one way, then the other politicians say he's not a good politician. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's weak. He's this, that. So then he tries to be strong, and then the people say, oh, but he's this and that. Then he tries to... The point is whatever is the thing he's supposed to adjust to that situation. That's intelligent. Anybody with any personality and character does that in day-to-day life. You know? I mean, I always used to find that interesting. You'd find... I can't remember what it was, but I'd see it a few times when you're dealing with these like really high-end, very influential, powerful people, either big business magnates, I mean ridiculous big business magnates, or very powerful persons in some way or another, whatever they may be, you know, like that. And, you know, celebrities, politics, anything. They would be... dealing how they dealing, you know, they're you know, being cool, you know, nobody can you know, ruffle their feathers and all that. And then they come along and there's a kid. And then sometimes even get down on one knee and they're talking to the kid, and just all how you talk to a kid. Take off the sunglasses, let down everything, just really relax, really nice and everything. And everybody, you know, is comfortable. And then when that moment's over, they just stand back up, put on their glasses and go right back into ice. But it wasn't that dealing with the kid was a show. Because they didn't have to do that. You know, it's just that that's how you deal with the kids. And then with the adults, you know, they're the tough guy. So they have to know how to deal with all these things. Otherwise, then, you know, it just can't work. Because those who are superior to you, you have to deal in one way. Your equals another way. Those who are juniors another way. Citizens in another way, you know, other countries in another way, you know. So you have to have all these things. So it should be that the head of state knows how to do all those things, though he has people that specialize. You know, you have the what are they called? They're the head of state. What do you call the person that is the minister in charge of state? Yeah, home affairs, like that. And then you have, who's the one that goes out, like the ambassador? Or like America had the lady with the big hat before.
The foreign minister,
like that. So they can go out and be very pleasant, very nice, but you just know that they're not going to budge on anything. They're tough as nails, but very nicely presented. Right, so they said they had this lady. She was one of the best. You know, she was like dressed like I don't know from when. She used these monster hats and, you know, like, you know, wild colors and everything like that. Not distasteful, but it was just something that you would expect from a, you know, an old lady. And she was an old lady, and she dressed like that. And then say she didn't care, but she's one there, you know, driving the hard line with other heads of state. You know, so you had that, but it's not that the head of state doesn't have all these moods. So if they're in that position, they'll do that. If they're in another position, they do that. You know what I'm saying? You know, so when they're out, down on the farm, you know, giving pardon to one turkey on Thanksgiving, you know, so then they're just one of the boys, you know, like that. No? President's got a part in the turkey, right? That's funny. One. The other 5 billion, you know, forget it. You know. At this time, Prithvimaraj became exactly like Yamaraj, and his whole body appeared very angry. In other words, he was anger personified. After hearing him, the planet Earth began to tremble. She surrendered and with folded hands began to speak as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is death personified to miscreants and the Supreme Beloved Lord to the devotees. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Mrityu sarva harashchaham. Bhagavad Gita 10:34, I am all devouring death. Faithless unbelievers who challenge the appearance of God will be delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he appears before them as death. Hiranyakashipu, for example, challenged the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord met him in the form of Nrisimhadeva and killed him. Similarly, the planet Earth saw Maharaj Prithu as death personified, and she also saw him in the mood of anger personified. Therefore, she began to tremble. One cannot challenge the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any circumstance. It is better to surrender unto him and take his protection at all times, because if one's surrendered, one's protected. So that's the whole point is when there's authority, there's surrender. If that's there, everything works nicely. Right? So you surrender to authority that can protect. You don't have to surrender to authority that doesn't protect. You may have to cooperate, but you don't have to surrender. Right? Surrender is for those who can't protect. Those two go together, yes.
You see that in modern age, everybody, almost everybody, have an authority issue because they tried to surrender and they were not.
Yes, so that's why you cooperate, but you don't surrender.
What would be the difference?
Surrender means you trust. Cooperate means you just deal, you know, how far you can throw them, that's how much you closely work with them. Right? And if you can't throw them any distance, don't trust them at all. Point is it's niti. You just work at the moment, on the moment, what's happening, and to make that cooperate and work, and that's all you do. You don't go more than that. You don't reveal more than that. You don't express more than that. You don't show more personality than that. You know, you don't show any weakness or anything. You can't, because then immediately it'll be taken advantage of. So that's the point. But it doesn't mean that one, the principle of authority still stands, whether we have authority issues or not, right? If we haven't met a good authority, doesn't mean the principle is not good, because the concept of authority comes from the Supreme Lord himself, right? So that has to be accepted, that there is such a thing as authority. And because of that, then administration manager is representing the Lord in that side. So that much we cooperate with the administration on that side. The same person, time the individual involved, you may be very careful. Does that make sense? You know, like Yudhishthira Maharaj. After the poisoning of Bhima, then instead of just acting as we're all just one happy family, then he understood, no, we're two distinct parties. We don't mind the other party, the other party does not want us around. So from then on, he didn't trust, but it didn't mean he didn't do his duties and cooperate in proper etiquette. You understand? Problem comes up is someone has authority issues, so they don't behave properly, but that's not allowed, because the individuals are in position. You have to be properly respected, right? Just like it says, you have to be tolerant of those in a greater position. But it doesn't. So the etiquette is followed, but it doesn't mean that you have to surrender. You just have to, where your duties and their duties are overlap, that's where you cooperate. Outside of that, there is no need to deal at all. You know what I'm saying? So that's very fair. That's culture. You can't expect more than that. People may want more than that, but hey, people want everything. The midget wants the moon. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? So generally, at this point, people will pull out all these niceties of pranamoy. Oh, but you know, we're all here, we're one family, we're all cooperating together. You know? I heard that once I was saying the point, that, you know, Prabhupada is here. We're following Prabhupada. So when it comes to when push comes to shove, we want to be standing behind Prabhupada. You know? We don't want to be standing somewhere else. Right? So then that's the position. And then someone else who was, you know, from the group but had gone on to some other group. No, but we're all just one family, you know. Yeah, but somehow or another before that they were saying that, you know, Prabhupada's group doesn't this, doesn't that, and all that. But then we point out their weakness, and oh no, we're all just one family, you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that in these things people, they pull out pranamoy left, right, and center if they're clever. And with the idea that, that you're going to mistake it for religion and therefore mistake it for spiritual. You know, and furthermore mistake it for devotional. So if you can't tell the difference between these five, you might make the mistake. But the point is no. We're working on this platform. It's a pranamoy, but you work on that. That's all the farther. You don't have to work outside. I may be doing that because of Dharma or because of my spiritual understanding, but I'm not expecting that from the other part. Does that make sense? That's just niti. That's just practical. You know, so, you know, people want practical these days. That's practical. You know, someone say, yes, we're devotees, yes, but then what position? You know? So that's the whole point. One has to be intelligent. You know, like I was saying before, you don't reveal your assets. You can't. You know? Because otherwise, who can be trusted? Right? Some can. They may know. But it's only those persons can know. Otherwise, no one else can know. Just like when the king, when he makes a plan for something, only those persons involved in the execution of the plan, they know the plan. No one else knows the plan. You might give a general idea, okay, the king's going to do this, like that, but you no detail. And even that, if it's going to hamper the plan, you don't even reveal that. Because the point is, when something's basically visible, then you can start mentioning about it. But then people don't. Does that make sense? It's just how things work. One may say, oh, this is hidden, this is controlled, this and that. These perspectives are all coming from those with authority issues, and that they don't trust. So they have trust issues, authority issues, you know, basically downright, you know, personal issues, human issues. You know? So that's the whole thing, is they, those things are there, but that doesn't mean that the laws that are in place don't still function the way they do. You know what I'm saying? If it's up to the newspaper, the investigative journalist, everything about everybody would be known and in the newspaper. Now can anything get done? Right? You know, if I take it, okay, let's say someone having a surprise party. Why are you hiding from it? What about the truth? Is the truth more important than you know, other mundane consider your happiness? Isn't truth more important than your happiness? So you're keeping this hidden from the person that you're having a surprise party for them, like for their birthday or anniversary or something. You know, isn't that on a lower level? Isn't that about yourself? Aren't you being selfish here? Why not, you know, expand? Let everybody know. Let everybody enjoy the things like this. But there won't be anything to enjoy because nothing will happen. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that it doesn't matter, because everybody wants truth for profit. They're not talking truth meaning absolute truth. They're talking about truth as profit. Is that what you're saying? Pranamoy means truth that's for profit. So, therefore, don't be bewildered by it. Don't be distracted by it. But, according to the etiquette, you point it out pleasantly or just nod your head and then know why that's what it is and do what you need to do. Or if you're in a position, you point it out pleasantly, that yes, but then this is good for this. You'll benefit this way. No one else will benefit. Not right. No, but it's for everybody's benefit. Who's this everybody? You know, like the gossip. They want to know everything. Does everybody want to know everything? No, the gossip wants to know everything. So he'll talk about it. Everybody wants to know. Does this make sense? So that's the thing. When we're dealing in the administrative field, then diplomacy is part of it. But it has to be that the purpose of the diplomacy and all that is for the benefit and protection of the people. And that benefit and protection, as Shastra says, not how we think. Yes?
I was thinking also as a preacher, you preach to different people, different subjects.
Right.
And there's also an offense, then you don't preach to the faceless.
Yes.
So it's according to the level
yes.
people are at. And then we see in the life of Lord Chaitanya or you know, great acharyas, they did discuss you know, certain topics.
Yes, with certain individuals. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So that's just that's the way it works. Right, so this is an educational forum, so therefore we're discussing so that the understanding's there, the knowledge is there. Right, examples are given just to illuminate the point. But then one has to apply it in the life, and in applying it, the application may, in the art, look totally different than how it's being discussed here. That's always important to note, that how it's discussed here is for educational purposes. Right, knowledge persons. Then when you apply it, practical, that may be completely different. Does that make sense? The principle is the same, but the detail is different because we give an example that should be obvious, right? But then the situations you're in aren't always obvious, so then you have to apply it then, right? And so we just point these things out so that we are aware that within our devotional life we have to be careful. That we ourselves don't get distracted by mixed devotional service, we don't get affected by others' mixed devotional service. Right? And we seek out those with the importance is pure devotional service. Right? So that's what we're trying to do. So that therefore things are brought up, because otherwise someone may just go along. I remember once there was some parent, kid was running around and got caught by some locals and disappeared for some time, finally got them back. You know, they just took him off to talk to them. You know, they thought, you know, cute Western kid. They took him, you know, sat down in some place and talk and this and that. But for a long time, no one knew where the kid was. You know? And so everyone was freaking out. So then in the meeting, then it was brought up, why was the kid running around that these Bengalis could take them? I think they were going to the Goshala. And they met them somewhere before the Goshala. So they took him down there and, you know, there's the fields there, sat down there and probably got out the basket. And, you know, nothing went was wrong. But no one knew where the kid was for like some hours, you know. And so then, but the mom said, no, but it's the Dham, you know. It's like, it's the spiritual world. Nothing goes wrong here. There's no, you know. So the whole thing is you have to know what you're dealing with. It is a spiritual world, therefore you can get that. At the same time, there's people here that aren't in the spiritual world. You know what I'm saying? You can say, we're in Vrindavan, so this monster bull that's here that's stomping on all the houses and all that, but it must be all Krishna's arrangement for something's, you know. You understand? No, it's a demon. Does that make sense? So if one has that intelligence, then one can situate yourself where you very peacefully go through life. Because you find that spiritual groove, and then where those things that are on the edge of that, then you know how to deal with it, because you can discern. Does this make sense? Right. Chapter 17 summarizes questions and answers. Questions asked by Vidura of Maitreya Muni. Question 94. Why did Mother Earth assume the form of a cow? 95. When King Prithu milked Mother Earth, who took the form of the calf? 96. What pot was used to collect the milk? Right, see, these are practical questions. If you're going to milk, then you need a cow, you need a calf, you need a pot. You know, so how is this working? Because if you milk the earth, you know, then how is this arranged, right? 97. How did Maharaj Prithu level the surface of the earth? 98. Why did Indra steal a horse meant to be sacrificed by King Prithu? 99. After receiving the transcendental knowledge from Sanat Kumar and practically applying it in his life, how did King Prithu attain his desired destination? These questions are answered in the course of the coming narration of the activities of King Prithu. The next chapter answers 94 to 97. 98 is after the chapter 19. Chapters 22 to 23 answer 99, which means about these discussions of Sanat Kumar. So we're not going to see those then. In this year, we'll open the year with those. So then, 98. Okay, so we'll just get up to Indra, stealing the horse. Right? Adhyaya Prakashika. In the 17th chapter, When starving people begged him for food, Prithu catches the earth, who had seized everything, and in fright the earth praises Prithu. Right? It means, the point is one is strong, but one has to be right. Just being strong, reacting emotionally, that's not proper. It has to be that the reaction is according to the duties and according to the position. Proper knowledge, proper position, proper application. Then strength is important. Otherwise, if we get rid of all strength, the funny part is the committees that get rid of anybody being strong themselves are overly strong. Right? In fact, more strong than the persons they're getting rid of. Right? Does that make sense? Yes. Just like, you know, Louis, how many people's heads did he cut off? No, but how many did Robespierre cut off? Right? So who was worse? Right? You know, the people didn't have food, so then the solution is cut their head off, you know, so, you know, hey.
There's a doubt that in Satya Yuga, everything is perfect, so these things we don't expect to happen. So
it's a material world, it happens. See, we have to give up the idea that there is perfection in the material world. Satya Yuga is a general tendency. But also you see Hiranyakashipu is in Satya Yuga. Yeah. Ravana's in Treta. You know, you have the Duryodhanadis in Dwapara.
And Kali.
Huh?
That's
everybody. Yeah. Basically, it's just everybody. It's just which party you happen to be in. So, you know, whichever one you're in is everybody else. And when you're in the next one, it's everybody else. And so, yeah. Yeah, so the point is it's the material world. Things don't go right. That's the thing. It has a general tendency to go more right. Is that something? Okay, that's all. Maitreya Muni tells Vidura that Maharaj Prithu, satisfied by the words of the professional reciters, amply rewarded and honored, amply rewarded and worshipped them. Right, because the professional reciters are Brahmins. Right? All others present, from the priests to the ordinary citizens, were similarly honored and benefited. Vidura, curious about the prediction of the reciters that the king would milk the earth, asked sage Maitreya several questions. Vidura concludes his questions by stating that since Prithu Maharaj was an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, hearing about his activities is most pleasing and produces all good fortune. Maitreya reveals that at the time the king was enthroned, there was a scarcity of grain throughout the land. So this was then if he was enthroned, it was there. So that means that was affected because of Venu. But the point is now the proper king is there, everything's there, now she should, you know, respond according to that situation. The hungry citizens came forward to inform their new ruler of their plight. Prithu pondered the situation for a long time. At last, reaching a conclusion, he fixed an arrow to his mighty bow and aimed it at the earth personified, who in the shape of a cow fled from him in great fear. Right? So she's also using, trying to, you know, because she takes the form of a cow, then, you know, you're not supposed to kill cows. Hey, hello. You know, yeah, yeah. So she was hoping it would work. But notice that he ponders for some time, so he doesn't just immediately respond. Right? You immediately respond, something may go wrong. You have to. Right? At last, in helplessness, she stopped running and surrendered to him. The earth personified begged the king to protect her and not take her life. King Prithu reminded Mother Earth that, like a cow that eats grass but gives no milk from the udder, she had neglected her duty to provide food grains for the population. Right? Because sacrifice is being done, everything. But then why isn't she giving the grains? The king accused her of being overly prideful in her position as the demigoddess of planet Earth. Mother Earth fully acknowledged the king as a powerful incarnation of the transcendental personality of Godhead and begged him for shelter and protection. Right? So he is dealing according to righteousness, so naturally then he's one who you can properly surrender to. So it wasn't that she was just kind of like getting by just to get by this moment, and then she's going to run off into Brahma or something like this. You know, this is actually, he's qualified, she surrenders. Shloka Anushana, verses 1 to 7. Questions by Vidura, 8 to 17. The earth personified in cow form, chaste to yield food grains. 18 to 21. Helpless earth addresses Maharaj Pitu. 22 to 28, the king chastises earth with counter arguments and instructions. 29 to 36, Mother Earth offers prayers. Right? So then, you know, she has her points, and then he counters them. You know, on one situation, what she's saying, it may be correct. But still, then he counters because there's something higher, something more to consider. Verses 1 to 7, questions by Vidura. So here, that point of surrendering, it doesn't mean that one doesn't ask questions and doesn't discuss, but it has to be discussed intellectually, which means understanding or intelligently, understanding what the person is trying to do or what should be done. But if you're trying to do this and you're doing this and that, why would you do this when we could do that? You know, before, last year we did like this, and the other years we did this, why are you doing it like this? And then you point it out, because of this. Same time, there might be something that you didn't consider in that. Is that, in other words, there was an idea of why to do something. Let's say every year they do in a festival a certain thing. Because originally there was an idea of trying to accomplish. Maybe it accomplished it. But then with time, no one knows why. And it's not accomplished. So then the new manager sees that, okay, this is not working. We have to change it. You know, and what they're going to change is practical. But at the same time, if something's lost because of what was there in the original. So then somebody points out, but this was the reason for it. So then they can decide, okay, now is it a matter that reason's good? Does that detail accomplish it, or it's not? We have to adjust the detail. Does that make sense? So therefore, the contemplation, and we see here's the discussion. And then the practical application. So it's open for discussion, but it should be intelligent. Right? So that, and ideally the culture is such that those who have something to say feel comfortable to say it, but at the same time is one should only say if it's of value. I mean, one shouldn't just say because one has an opinion. Does that make sense? So there's a balance there. It should be that the administrator is approachable and will listen, but it has to be that what you're saying is of value. Otherwise, if not, then there should be some chastisement for that. You know, just like we said before, in a real emergency, then there's a place in the palace where any citizen could come into the courtyard and play the drum and get direct audience of the king. Right? But to do that, what you had to say had to be good. Because if you were just doing it just you wanted to see the king, or, hey, can I get your autograph, or something like that, then the guards who are there also that let you in won't let you out. You know, you'll go to jail first. But the point is you have the right to do that. But it can't be just because you feel like it. You have to consider what is it the king's doing. In other words, you have to know administration, or you just are in distress, so just this problem is there. Like that Brahmin who the thieves came and stole all of his 10,000 cows, and no one was doing anything. So he just went directly to the king. Right, so it wasn't court time, so he had to go to that courtyard. So that's why Arjuna came out. Because otherwise, if he'd gone to the court, it would have been Yudhishthira. But he came out, so Arjuna came out. And so he explained what was happening, and so then Arjuna just came down and took care of it. Right? But nowadays, people just like to talk because everybody's got an opinion. They don't actually know the field. And they're not actually just sincerely giving what their problem is. Right? So it has to be one or the other. Either you know the administrative field and you're pointing out how you feel some way is better, or it has to be you actually sincerely have a problem and you want it to be taken care of. You don't have an opinion how it's going to be taken care of, you just want it taken care of. Yes.
Sometimes we have a similar situation with the gurus and disciples. When disciples, you know, guru has many disciples, they come and then and then and then. He's like, you know, he can pay attention to everybody, or people just bother you for nothing.
Yes. So you have to have a balance. So that's why the best thing is that the relationship with guru is based on siksha. So there should be some kind of forum in which that siksha can be discussed. Right? The difficulty comes up where you're saying is that bothering Zer is because they take it that Diksha somehow or another means it's a more of a emotional bond. Rather, you know what I'm saying? Based on the material. I have emotional needs. No one's listening to me. I go to the guru. As opposed to like that. So that shouldn't be happening. Right? Unless you have such a relationship. But otherwise, if you don't, you shouldn't expect it. So that's why it should be that there's forums for discussing the philosophy. Questions can come up and can be discussed in that forum. Problem comes up is that everybody thinks my problems are so unique I can't discuss it in public. You know, just like you see regularly, like here, be discussing something here, and right after the class, someone comes up and says, "You know, this they could have asked it in the class." They somehow or another think it's so unique it doesn't. You know, point is everybody will benefit. Not that there aren't some things that are private, but what I'm saying most of the time, you know, probably 80-90% of the time it could have been asked. There are some that, yes, you do want to discuss that separately. So much of the time they just want some special attention. Just like I've seen so many times, you're discussing with someone, there's a problem, you're telling me exactly what is the principle that is there, what to do, some suggestions on how they can apply it according to what they have shown is what is their situation or their need, their personality. And when you finished all that, in your mind, you finished, it's complete. Then after that, they go, okay, that's very nice, that's very happy. Now do you have any personal instructions? It's kind of like, are you kidding? You know, what is going on here? That was personal, what are you talking about? Because then it's like, hey, I got some personal, you know, it's kind of like, what's going on here? You know, and I get that one or two times. So you can imagine these guys with thousands of disciples. You know, everybody wants that attention. Everyone wants to smile. Everyone wants to control the situation. Like you go over, they invite to the house. The guru comes over. They want to control everything. He comes with one or two. You want to control everything. You know, it's rather than you just feeding the guru. No, you want to feel that you have control. You know what I'm saying? And it's a problem. So. Generally speaking, is that you have to base it on siksha and bring it up that siksha is the basis of the relationship. Then, based on that, then otherwise, some is that because they have a problem, then they can go to the guru. You know, they had a problem, they go to the guru, dealt with it, so now they want attention, they always have a problem. You know, rather than you can be also okay in doing something positive and also guru will appreciate it. So this is just because the position of siksha is not understood very well. Right? Because if it was understood, then all senior devotees would be respected as siksha gurus. But it's not that the siksha is the main thing, so therefore, then the diksha is, so therefore it has that emotional content and not that thing. Does that make sense? It's not that emotion's not there in the relationship. We're not saying that. We're just saying that that's not the place where if you're, you know, feeling emotionally down, that's where you're supposed to be able to get it. Right? In other words, if something can work out, nice, but it's not the obligation. Diksha Guru is not obliged to take care of your emotional problems. He's supposed to take care of your spiritual problems. Because emotional problems come up in the social. There's already a social system for that. Does that make sense? So that becomes a difficulty. Yeah. And depending upon where you are in the world, it's more or less exacerbated. And it also the tendencies, more neophyte, more they think like this, more mature, the less they think like this. You know, so like someone who's more mature, then you can be around them all day and it's inspiring. While someone who's less mature, sometimes you're around them for a short time and that's all that you can deal with. Because they're just trying to take and get. It's not like a spiritual thing. It's just guru's paying attention. I'm going to get as much of this as I can. You know what I'm saying? But those emotional needs are supposed to be taken care of in the family, in the community, and those kind of things. Right, the grihastha environment's meant for that. It's supposed to take care of these things so that then, that being satisfied, then you can ask about spiritual. Like you see, like Devahuti. It's not that she doesn't have a good relationship as mother and child with Kapila Muni, but she's asking about the spiritual because these other things are in place. So if that was understood, then gurus could become closer to the disciples. But the problem is you can only become a certain amount of close, because if you get close, then everybody tries to take as much as they can. You know what I'm saying? So then how much can you deal with? Because you're doing stuff that, you know, the wife should have done, the husband should have done, the children should have done, the leader should have done, somebody else should have done. You're there for spiritual vision in that. Because the others is already supposed to be taken care of, so then that's a problem. Now, being that, that should be something to discuss, but then that's a whole different topic. You know. Does that make sense? So then, and then you say this, and then you get the things, okay, no disciples should go around. You're not saying that either. You're just saying disciples are around, but they should understand what is the relationship and keep it to that natural relationship. So whatever it has, if it has that emotion, and then it's that much emotional content, we'll try to get more. It should grow naturally. Does that make sense? Like you see, somebody's spiritual master hangs out with certain people all day. Like I know one guru, he has one disciple. I forget what he is. He's something like some real simple guy. But he's one of these kind of like real down-to-earth practical guys. And so this spiritual man can hang out with him all day. Because there's no emotional trips. You know, you're just doing something simple, but because he's a practical guy, you know, it just gets done in a non-complicated way. It's just very pleasant to be around. And he'll, in his own simple way, ask, you know, about spiritual things. And you have to explain it really simple. But it's just, I've seen, and it's just a pleasure to be, you know, in that. And so you have all these other kind of more mature and big-time guys, and you'll have this guy. And I'm talking, you're not having necessarily the yatra, you know, leaders or stuff like that, because they're, you know, just too much, and they can't just relax. You know, so you have guys above that, you know, like, you know, other gurus and sannyasis, and then this guy. And it makes a great, and he works with everybody, everybody's happy. It's just a matter of they can comfortably just sit and interact. And is that a thing? So it's the personal aspect. But the personal means there's the mood of service, there's the mood of, you know, like these kind of things. It's not just what I can get. So that there's a dependence upon the spiritual master, there's that expecting these things connected to the spiritual master, then that's nice in that you're turning to the spiritual master, but at the same time there's a limit to what can be dealt with on the material platform. Does that make sense? Spiritual platform unlimited. You really have more on the material platform, turn to Krishna. You know, you can talk all day to him about that. You know, your Mercedes Benz, your, you know, whatever it is you want, you know. Isn't it? That's the prayer, right? Yeah. Oh, you don't know the prayer I'm talking about.
Yes, I know.
Hmm?
Yes, I know.
Okay.
I didn't think it was a bona fide one.
Oh, no. I was just saying, at least she's turning to God. Yeah, funny. She always turned to God. Okay. Verses 1 to 7. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You know, this is very generic. There may be very specific cases, but the point is if you can create forums in which there's a lot of discussion and questions and answers can be there on a wide variety of topics, then these things come up and it can be dealt with. Or you have to have tons of time and see everybody in individually in groups and like doing that. And some are good at that. Some really like, appreciate just sitting in a chair and all day just see different people all day and talk and do like that. So it just depends. So therefore, choose someone who you can relate to, that's what it's going to be. Because it's, you know. Right. In other words, don't try to domesticate the guru. What you see is what you get. Don't think, okay, there's potential here. Now we can try to get more. Right? Does that make sense? That's on the social position. Right? Okay, verses 1 to 7, questions by Vidura. The great sage Maitreya continued. In this way, the reciters who were glorifying Maharaj Prithu readily described his qualities and chivalrous activities. At the end, Maharaj Prithu offered them various presentations with all due respect and worshipped them adequately. King Prithu thus satisfied and offered all respect to all the leaders of the Brahmanas and other castes, to his servants, to his ministers, and to the priests, citizens, general countrymen, member from the other communities, admirers and others, and thus they all became happy. Right? So all this, and he's distinction. So there's the Brahmanas and then there's the priests. Right? Because the Brahmanas are in general. The priests are specifically his priests. So you have to make a distinction there. Right? All the other castes, then he dealt with everybody according to position. Right? Then his servants, even though they may fall into some of those there. The ministers may be Brahmins, maybe, but they're dealt with in that their own group. Right? The citizens, even though you're dealing with the caste, but then as citizens, there's a dealing. Right? General countrymen. You know, so then, you know, as you go out into broader range, so there'll be the ones that are right in the city itself, the ones there that are known, but then ones who are outside of that. Right? People from other communities, so those who'll be out in the forests or other countries. Like that. You know. Admirers and others, right? So everybody became happy. Whatever their position, whatever their approach, he dealt with every one of them. So that takes qualification, that takes that training. So being the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, therefore then it's natural. But this is the example, is that you're dealing with everybody like that. Nicely. So Vidura inquired from the great sage Maitreya, "My dear Brahmana, since Mother Earth can appear in different shapes, why did she take the shape of a cow? And when Prithu milked her, who became the calf and what was the milking pot? The surface of the earth is by nature low in some places and high in others. How did King Prithu level the surface of the earth, and why did the king of heaven, Indra, steal the horse meant for the sacrifice?" So these all came up in the description. So he's just wondering about this, so that these could be explained, right? Because a great personality is doing something, there must be something to learn in that, something special there. And it's about the pastimes of the Lord, so therefore then there. The great saintly king, Maharaj Prithu, received knowledge from Sunat Kumar, who was the greatest Vedic scholar, after receiving knowledge to be applied practically in his life. How did the saintly king attain his desired destination? Right? Because you obtain knowledge that you can apply, that you can get a result. So if he's getting knowledge from Sunat Kumar, then the whole point is that after applying it, so then how did he attain his desired destination? Right? Because that's the whole point. Knowledge is to be applied to get a result. Right? It's not just for knowledge. You have professional students. They just like to study because they don't want to do something else. Right? But the point is it should be applied. You can't say, well, oh, they're just an intellectual. No, an intellectual wouldn't apply it. You know? Yes.
Can you say that when we study Bhagavatam, that's direct devotional service, so we...
That's apply, there.
No, that's different.
No, that's a different thing. I'm talking about as an occupation, someone's a student. You have those professional students. They're just always, they finish one degree, they go for the next, they go for the next. But they don't like take up teaching, they don't take up applying it. They just learn more and more and more. So that, there's a weakness there, because what's the goal? Just to learn? Because the point is knowledge is to be applied. Because knowledge comes in Abhideya, so knowledge has to be applied and that gets a result. So then what's the point? But Bhagavatam, that's just hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord. So that's Nityam Bhagavatam, the same way. That's every day, eternally. So this is something we'll be doing eternally.
It's not an occupation.
No, it's not an occupation. This is part of ashram. Sorry?
It's like a hobby.
Hobby, yeah. Like that. But even more, it's a, you know, it's a devotional practice. You know, it's a vrata, it's a vow, it's a, you know, so like that. And it can be a hobby also.
Yeah. You mentioned that knowledge is an abhidaya. I was thinking knowledge is a sambandha, and then
that is the knowledge itself, but then you have to apply it in abhidaya. Because abhidaya you can't apply without knowledge. Does that make sense? So I'm talking about that aspect of it. Just like Pujumna is the Lord of Intelligence.
Right.
But when you apply the senses, that intelligence has to be used. Right? So Sankarshan is the actual knowledge itself, the subject matter itself.
Yes.
Prajuna will be the interest in it. Right?
Yes.
But the Vasudeva will be that with that proper attitude, with that proper knowledge, now you're applying it in an actual practical plan. That will get you the practical result. Right? So Sankarshan means you know what is the knowledge. You know what is the proper attitude. You know what's the result you can get. You know what's the proper plan. Like that. But then you actually have to have the attitude, apply it, and get the result.
So knowledge in practice.
The knowledge in practice is abhidaya. Right? Just knowledge that you are, you know, having, understanding it, contemplating it, that will be sankarshan. Like that. But at the same time, we're studying Bhagavatam, so that's an aspect of abhidaya.
Right.
It's devotional service and practice. So we're applying the knowledge and trying to see how it works. You know, so points will come up, we contemplate how we would apply that, then a question comes up, because naturally then, if I apply it in this way, what about this? If I apply it in that way, what about that? You know, because the principle is, because sometimes it's mentioned that devotees will say when they're sitting in the class, it all makes such sense, it's so clear. And as soon as they walk out the door, it's like, huh? Because then when you walk out the door, then the secondary aspects come into play. And then it's now making the connection between the primary and the secondary. So the primary is so simple. It's very clear. But now, the practice takes is applying it into the secondary. So even though it's not the main aspect, it's where you're going to apply it. It's where the art is. So that's when it doesn't make as much sense. So then by hearing, then we start to, and contemplating, practicing, then we start to see it, that the principle, we can see it in all situations. And then we're always able to apply it very easily. So that means then someone's expert. Right, so expert means now you can see the principle all the time and therefore see what details in all situations can work with. More expert means a wider range of details, secondary. You know, expert means the natural, you know, within the box. More expert means out of the box. Is that something?
Out of the box could be like rock already? Outside.
Yeah. Mastery means there are no boxes. You know, it means you just see the principle and how in any situation you can apply it. So it's much more natural there. Yeah. So, thank you.
Om Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.